Good afternoon and welcome back to another episode of the Dr. Regine Show. It is Monday afternoon, 2 p.m., and you are listening to KHTS 98.1 AM, 1220, and hometownstation.com. I am here today with special guest Eddie Panero. I am a psychologist, children's author, and mental health advocate in the Los Angeles area. To tell you a little bit about our guest today, Eddie is an international TEDx speaker, video producer, and the founder of Your World Within. From the motivational videos he creates on YouTube to his podcast episodes to the stages he speaks on all over the world, Eddie offers a blueprint to those looking for an edge as they navigate their day-to-day lives. And we are so, so excited to have him. He has over 200 million streams, and his use of his powerful spoken word and beautiful imagery is really a reminder to many that they are always one decision away from a totally different life. And that's what we're here to talk about. Welcome, Eddie, to the show.
Dr. Regine, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be hanging out.
Yeah, so happy and glad to have you. And I wanted to also mention, and we'll talk about this later, how people can find you on Spotify. It's Your World Within on Instagram and Spotify. So we'll make sure to share all those handles with our listeners. So, Eddie, I wanted to start with you really telling our listeners how you got inspired to start your motivational podcast, Your World Within, which personally I listen to every day. Is fantastic.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm happy to. I mean, it's an interesting thing because it wasn't methodical at the beginning, right? There's a quote that I really like by J.R.R. Tolkien's, "Not all who wander are lost." And so for me, it wasn't as much knowing. It was the inverse of being in places and going, "Eh, it's not quite it," and sort of moving towards my curiosity, right? So from high school, I went to college, college to the corporate world, and, you know, met some beautiful people, learned some incredible things, but I felt like this probably wasn't the right space for me. And basically wanted to follow that creative spark. And so I was in Boston at the time, writing music, taking the camera out, making little films, producing other artists, doing creative writing, just sort of like exploring. Ultimately you get to that point. I always joke, like, it's so fun to say, you know, you're an entrepreneur and you're leaving and, you know, you're going to go set out on your dream, and then the dust settles and you're a guy in your mid-20s sitting in an apartment in his boxers, like, with money dwindling, right? It's like, oh my God. Yeah. So I wrote this speech that was kind of a promise to myself. It's called Ode to Excellence. And it was like, listen, you love this and you haven't quite made it work yet, but give it a chance. Like, for once, put your back against the wall and push back against life, you know? And so that's what it was, because, like, the instinct is, of course, you want to go back to that world, even if you didn't like it. There's something very nice about knowing there's a paycheck coming on Friday. And so that was the battle I was fighting. So anyway, that was the first speech I wrote, or it was, Eddie, promise yourself that you will continue through this. And I just loved writing the speech. I loved making the video. It felt like a little production that was really meaningful to me. And then it also added value to people, right? It's like that precious intersection of doing what you love and also doing what makes the world a better place, what helps others. And so I'm like, that's it. Like, that's the spot. And that was kind of the beginning, and just continued writing and creating and expanding out.
Wow. And that's in itself, you know, because I know your world within podcast is all about motivating people and empowering them to do maybe what they're not. So, pretty much moving on to challenges. And, I think this speaks a lot to our teens today, as we see they're so creative, I think, now with social media and YouTube and TikTok. There's a platform now that there wasn't there so many years ago. And that's one of the positive things I say about devices and screens and all the social media that's at our hands right now is that they have this ability to be more creative and expand their minds. But I wanted to also talk about and linking that is how do you really lift yourself up after a challenge or, you know, wanting or you have this desire to do something. So let's say you have a desire to create a song, to create a podcast, to create a business, to you have the idea in place, but there's that inner fear, we call it, or the challenge or the wall that we put up for ourselves. What advice do you have? Because I know you definitely, you know, talk a lot about that. Do you have for our teens today? And I think this doesn't just apply to teens. I think even for young adults and adults themselves who maybe have lost a job and now they're transitioning into what to do next.
Yeah, I mean, it's an innate thing. Like, it's something that I've worked on and definitely gotten better at, but it's not like the reason I think it's an important skill set to work on to pay attention to is because it's not something you ever really mitigate, you know. And so the way that I look at it is depersonalizing the outcomes. Right, it's almost like when difficulty happens, you don't view it as a referendum against you. You view it as the cost of admission, because life is inherently difficult. And, you know, you could completely lessen the struggle in your life and the obstacles and all that bad, stressful stuff, you know, for sure, if you stayed in your house and never left. But who wants to live a life like that, you know? And so when I'm in that position, and I find myself in it a lot, the story I'm telling myself is, you know, this is the cost of admission. Life is a game and you're choosing to play it. And so what happens in that instance is it pushes back, you know, and it's almost like when you feel that sense of maybe helplessness is too strong, but distress, it's like, be proud of yourself for that, right? It's an indication that you're doing something meaningful in a world where it's very easy not to, you know. There's a quote by Nietzsche that I really like. He says, those who were seen dancing were thought to be insane by those who couldn't hear the music. Mm. And as, you know, entrepreneurs or people in any setting, a team setting, you know, so much of what we're looking to do is bring about a result that isn't there yet. And that's it's definitionally crazy, right? You're trying to create something that does not exist, which means you have to be comfortable, as Nietzsche says, dancing before the music plays. Like, you have to be okay with seeing something before it's real. And there's solace in that. There's comfort in that, you know? I mean, I always joke, the first couple of years I was doing this, no one, you know, I mean, my audience was very, very small. There were not, like, you know, and I had to look myself in the mirror and sort of explain that to myself. Mm-hmm. Like, you, the way you feel right now, your ego being attacked right now, you have to differentiate that. You have to depersonalize that. This is a process. Life is a process. And I think the better we understand that, the more effective we'll be and we'll be able to do some incredible things.
Yes. And when you talk, I talk a lot about the analogy of in my sessions and with clients a lot is, you know, it's like this exercise of looking yourself in the mirror. And especially when you are feeling down or you're feeling, you know, just a lack of self-love or a lack of compassion for yourself or feeling like you're not good enough or, like you said, the ego, right? The ego just engulfs you and does not allow you to move forward. And I have them look in the mirror, and it just reminds me a lot of what you said. And just looking at the mirror and looking at that person that you want to be, which is your future self, right? And you talk a lot about this future self and envisioning who do you want to be or who, because we already know who we want to be. We don't know where we're going, but we do know that person that we want to be. So a lot of the times, you know, I think that's where I see teens also struggling and parents also is we get so stuck. And I don't know if you want to share what it was like for you as a teenager. You know, when you kind of get stuck in that all or nothing black and white thinking where you think that this situation right here is going to last for a lifetime. I don't see the light out. And I think that's why today we're seeing so much of anxiety and depression and suicidal ideation, and because they're not able to see that other side. I'm just really wondering from your perspective and experience that you went through too, what advice do you have for a teen who's maybe listening right now and who may not see that other side?
Yeah, so the world is gray space. It operates in the gray. You know, humans like to simplify, as I'm sure you know. So, like, we like narratives to be black and white, which is, I think, when we get into trouble, right? I think, you know, whether you're a teen going through an obstacle or personally, whatever it might be, the inability to move or that feeling of stagnation usually isn't because you don't have what it takes. It's because you're looking at the delta between where you are and where you want to be, and it feels so big that it's overwhelming. Like, we forget that there's a very, you know, we forget to differentiate between what we can control and what we can't. And what you can always do is take a single step forward. You know, that is power. Understanding that if you look at your situation as a dark room, there's a light switch within an arm's reach. Right. There's always, like, we put these expectations, and to your point, like, the societal pressure to, like, leap mountains and hit home runs. Like, no, life is about getting on base. Life is about finding a way. And, you know, social media does sort of create this highlight reel where, you know, people show the good stuff, not the bad stuff. So we think that, you know, everything's perfect and everyone's living this grandiose lifestyle and over there is amazing. It's like, no, that's not how it works. You know, doing difficult things or when you find yourself in those spots, it's not about creating magic out of thin air. It's saying, listen, I can take one step forward. I can do one thing. You can always do one thing. And that ability to say that to yourself, to just keep going, ultimately creates the difference, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It's like the tendency is, like, to think you need an answer. There's this kind of an irony to it. Like, to think you need an answer before you start or before you carry on. It's like, no, you just have to go, because in going, life gives us the answers. In moving, we collect the data points that becomes the meaningful stuff. So, yeah, that's my advice to myself, and it's why I talk about it to, you know, my friends and the people that listen to me and my family. It's like, move. Because when you're stagnant, you're not giving life an opportunity to reach you, you know?
Yes, and also going back to the challenges is another thing I love to say, is you are in this moment at this point of time right now, but it's not going to last forever. But what is it that you can take from this experience as a learning experience, especially when I have my clients going into college and, you know, they feel like it's the, you know, I'm going through all this difficulty. I've missed, you know, a semester of school for X, Y, or Z reason, and my life is doomed now. I won't be able to get out of this. And I say, wow, you have such a powerful essay to write. Do you just realize that you just have your essay topic for college? Because, right? And that's how I kind of see it, is that these challenges are not doomed. They're life lessons that teach us what's the next step. And so if we can kind of think about, like, really shifting the negative to the positive. And, you know, my next question for you is, and I one of your favorite episodes that you have is titled, Don't Forget How Far We've Come, You've Come. And I don't know if you, I know you have so many out there, but how do we actually stay in that state of positivity? Not toxic positivity, because a lot of people are talking about that, but how do we stay in that state of positive vibe and feelings?
Yeah, well, I think part of it is what you just described. So, like, it's funny that our most valuable days, circumstances, situations, we don't even recognize the value until we've left. Mm-hmm. It's like a weird thing where you have to – to leave the negative situation, quote unquote negative, right? You have to leave it before you can go, oh my God, my life is exponentially better because I endured that, because I weathered that storm. And so part of it's understanding, you know, it's like, it's being practical, even though human beings are not pragmatic. We are incredibly emotional. So like the times or instances where we can sort of gain some perspective, take a breath, right? I'm not advocating that we all be robots. That's not possible. But I'm just saying, like, if you can say, look, there's value here, right? And I'm going to find it. And just give yourself the grace to do that. This is going to kill me because I can't remember the gentleman's name. It's Russell Wilson's old trainer. Maybe you know his name. He passed away recently, but he wrote a few books, and he talks about neutral thinking, like the ability to not be negative. Obviously, you're not thinking about what can go wrong. That does no good to anybody. But you're not, you know, saying everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be perfect. This is wonderful. Gravy. It's like, no, you're looking at the task at hand. And despite how it might feel, you're looking at it as pragmatic as you can. So there's a win here. I'm going to find it. What am I going to build with the pieces around me? Because that's really all we can do. Mm-hmm. And I really like that. I've started to implement that idea, that sort of neutral thinking where you are sort of pushing emotions aside and trying to tactically use what you have around you.
Yes, yes. And it just reminds me of just taking one day, each day at a time, and just focusing on today or tomorrow, and not thinking too long-term off, because I think that also creates a lot of anxiety and different types of feelings. So I really, yes, love all of this. This is so great. If you would share right now really quick, what is one of your favorite podcast episodes before we go into break?
Yeah, so just sort of describe a story.
Yes, that would be great.
Oh, cool. Okay, so this is one of the first ones I ever wrote. This was as I had left the corporate world and was sort of in that gray space where I was trying to figure myself out and very nervous. So yeah. I remember, you know, I'd run every morning before work, you know, on this particular day. You know, it was in Boston. It was cold, snowing. And I went out and looked outside, saw the sleet coming down, and I thought, no, not this morning, you know. Went back in, and then for some reason I grabbed a beanie and gloves. I'm like, let's just do it. It's miserable weather, but let's get it over with. And so I went outside and ran around the Charles River, came back, and I remember coming back and feeling this sense of, just pride in doing something that wasn't crazy, wasn't outrageous, but it was annoying. It was annoying to the sense that 99.9% of the world would have went, no, I'll just run it at noon, or I'll run later, or I'll go to the gym. Mm-hmm. And the point of that story, that message, what I took with me from that morning was when we train ourselves or condition ourselves to do, again, nothing crazy, but even the slightly uncomfortable things, when you look in the mirror and see yourself as someone that does that, it carries into all aspects of your life and compounds. And if you look years down the road, that really transforms into something big, right? I'm the person that when things get tough or things are uncomfortable and most people will go, no, thank you, I say yes, and I step into it. And there's a lot of value there.
Mm-hmm. So consistency and keeping boundaries, right? I think that's important too.
Absolutely.
Like a schedule. Okay, we're going to go into a little break, but we will be right back. You are listening to KHTS FM 98.1 and AM 1220 and hometownstation.com. I am here with our guest, Eddie Panero, and we are all talking about motivation and how to get ourselves out of challenges. And we will be right back after the break. There's no combination of words I could put. Welcome back to the Dr. Regine Show on the Teen Hour. I have our guest, Eddie Panero, And we have been talking about motivation. We've been talking about his podcast, Your World Within. Please check it out. It's on Apple and Spotify and wherever you get your podcasts, and also on Instagram. We've been talking about how to lift yourself after challenges and staying in a state of positivity. Eddie, welcome back.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yes. So I want to dive in into, this is one of my favorite topics, because I see this so much. And this is a tough one. And this one is letting go in general, right? So letting go in general, and you talk about this so much. And we know that letting go can be so difficult for many people. So whether this is a child letting go of a friendship, it's a teen letting go of a bad relationship or a school or a situation. I kind of want to talk a little bit about that. And what tips do you have on the art of letting go?
Yeah, it's one of my favorites too. It's incredibly powerful. And I think misunderstood. The biggest mental shift I had there was reading Essentialism by Greg McKeown, who, if anyone hasn't read that, it's a great book, bestseller. And, he says there's this idea that when we want change in our lives, a lot of what we need to do is acquire. How can I get this? How can I obtain? And he says, stop. It's all wrong. You have to take a breath and ask yourself, what am I carrying around that I no longer need? Mm-hmm. So much of our problems aren't what's not there. It's what's there that doesn't need to be there. Mm-hmm. And, I've found that simplification, has 10x'd my happiness, my pride, like all these categories of my life. There was just too much. You know, this is one of those quotes where they attribute it to Abe Lincoln and every single, mm-hmm. Person on the internet, but Da Vinci, simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. Mm-hmm. And so if you can arrive there mentally, identifying, what's important to me and all these things that I'm doing when I audit my day, when I think about it, are they contributing to what's important to me? Because if they're not, like, why am I dragging it around? The people that are not lifting me up, mm-hmm. I shouldn't be around those people. The things I'm doing that don't move me towards that North Star, I shouldn't be doing those things. I was recently in Phoenix, and I saw in Joe Polish's office, he has a quote on his wall. It says, be willing to destroy anything that doesn't make your life excellent. Mm. And it gave me chills, and I I interviewed him, and I was asking him, can you explain that quote to me? And he says, Eddie, it's willing. Willing is the key word. Be willing to destroy anything in your life that isn't excellent. Have that mindset that your mental health and your worldview and what's meaningful to you is so precious that you're willing to pinpoint it, those things in your life. Or at least, because I get that life is tricky and it's complex. You can't always just snap your finger and push things out. But at least create that awareness, be cognizant of it so that you can start moving in the other direction. Mm-hmm. Comes down to awareness,
Yeah, and I think it's still hard for some because, as you mentioned, and we were talking about social media and things that we're seeing or things that we're wanting. And we think we want more or we think we need more. I'm going to say something, interesting just came to my mind. That's why no one likes shopping with me because I say, do you need that? Do you want that or do you need that? And so it's so funny because when I was younger and my friends would come shopping with me, I was like, I'm not shopping with you anymore. I'd say, well, do you need it or not? Because you keep on buying like the same thing over and over and over and it looks the same. And then it's like, that's what reminds me of shopping because it's just this compulsive need that item is going to make me feel better or, being here in this location at this time to make me feel better or moving, you hear people just moving across the country or moving, obviously for different reasons, but I'm talking more specifically like, oh, if I just change this, it's going to be better. And I always say that, no, it's about the change that you're making within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. You're taking yourself into that situation or place, and you're still the same person. So it is about you to teach yourself that that art and et cetera.
I love that.
Right?
As the saying goes, you have to take yourself with you wherever
yes.
you go. Right? You can't outrun your own, you know, internal turmoil. So
right.
yeah, you have to be willing to look at yourself in the mirror and you know, yeah. I've been as simple as like a notebook page with a line through the middle of it. What's bothering me on the left column? What's one small thing I'm going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
Because it makes you feel like you're working on those issues, and it puts you in control. It makes you realize, like, sometimes we forget how much control we have over our lives. It's very easy to. It's easy to feel very small in a big world. But if you're willing to, you know, put that stuff out, and again, nothing
yeah.
huge. Like, the answers are not huge. It's understanding it's small steps and you're capable of taking them. Yeah, so I started doing that notebook thing maybe
like
once
that.
A week. And it just adds this, like, very a sense of clarity. It's nice.
Mm-hmm. And also writing it down is so liberating. Even when you're trying to find a solution to a problem, or you think like there's so much that goes into it, to this, and you feel confused. I always liked also the similar analogy is the pros and cons list, where I can kind of like write down, well, okay, let me really analyze the situation. Let me write it down, and let me write down all the pros, and let me write down all the cons. Or even when you're getting out of toxic friendships, is identifying, well, I really don't want to repeat this pattern again. So having people just write down, well, what was toxic about that and what do they want different? I don't want to lose that term loosely, because for me, toxicity, which goes into what we're talking about, the letting go, it's just a vibration match, right? Because what we identify as toxic is just not matching our vibration, whether it's in any type of relationship, friendships, even when, you know, teens going to a new school, it has to match, or a client finding a new therapist. I say this a lot to new clients coming in. That's the point of the first session, is for us to see if we have a connection. Do we vibrate? Do we connect together? And that's up to you. And that doesn't mean I'm not good or you're not good, just means that we're not a match, and that's okay.
Yeah.
When we talk about loss, and loss is hard, and I think loss can be a loss could be a death, a loss could be even, I think a harder loss is even someone who's still alive and still present, but there is still that loss. But I want to go more into, what does loss really teach us? Because I think it's just such a big word and it can mean so many different things. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think generally it comes down to that ability to breathe and look at, you know, we have the option to look at what's not there, mm-hmm. what's gone, right? Or look at what it gave us. And, you know, that's been something, like, people in my life. I've lost some very important people in my life, and there's no way of mitigating the emotional peak. Like, I'm you know, you grieve and you're sad, and of course, but the saving grace is they brought something to you that you never would have had. You're a better person now. You have things now. You look at the world differently than you would have. It's a perspective, and I think that's what it all comes down to. Like, in these moments, it's like, are you willing to find the value that most people walk right by?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always say, like, the corporate world, for example, like, that was, I left that behind. That I can, you know, that was a loss in my life, and it'd be very easy for me to just chalk that up as a big X and a waste of time and, you know, wasn't me. But, like, the reality is there's so much I learned from that. I learned about people in that environment. I learned about succeeding in teams. I learned about, you know, it was right out of college. So for me, it was like hanging out with these people 30 years older than me and going, oh, okay, we're all the same. Like, we just want to feel valued. Like, there were so many things that as I moved on, scared and uncertain, took that value with me. It took a little bit of time, but
And I think that's what we have to be willing to do, is find that lens.
Yes, and as you were talking, it reminded me about the corporate world, reminded me of a rainbow. And, you know, when you think about what were you doing before, a lot of people don't know about me. So I used to work for, this is when I was in college, one of my other passions is makeup, and I used to work for MAC Makeup. And I was a trainer, and so that's one thing, like, people are a little shocked, like, oh, wow, you used to do that. But it's kind of reminded me of that because it was such an amazing experience to such a young age to just learn not only the business, but learning how to also interact with so many different personalities. And now when I talk to teens a lot, or even, you know, my older one who's going off to college, just advising her, like, think outside the box. I know you love writing. I know that's your passion, but think about what else can you do to expand your mind. And, you know, when we're talking about looking for a job, because it's not really about the job, it's about what you do with it, right? But that also ties into loss, because in their mind, it's a loss of, well, I'm losing time because I'm not doing my career, so to speak, or what I really want to do. But I just love that variety. And also when you mentioned what loss teaches us, what else do you feel, you know, when we think about even besides like work or friendships, what about when you're grieving the loss of someone who's possibly passed, or who's still alive, but you don't really have a connection? And I think this ties into forgiving, right? Forgiveness of the past. I know you have a lot of great episodes on that as well.
Yeah. So my grandfather, who, he's like a third parent in my household. Like, he was a hero and still is a hero in my life. And when I was in high school, he had brain cancer. Mm. And I didn't quite understand, like, I wasn't told it was terminal, right? I just saw this guy, putting on, he was president of Mass Maritime Academy. So he was in, military uniform, getting up, going to work. My grandmother would be sad, and he would say, you crack jokes. You'd be like, hey, I'm fine. It's all in my head. You know, like, just like putting everybody at ease. And, one thing he did was he took me to breakfast. And he said, I want you to understand something. Like, there's going to be some difficult things that are going to happen, and you won't understand them. But I need you to know that you're stronger than you think you are. Mm. And that message to me, like, I almost wish it resonated more in the moment. Yeah, you know, he'd say that. You're stronger than you think you are. You're stronger than you think you are. And, you know, as an adult looking back now, it's like, I get it. I understand. Like, we can do incredible things by just trusting ourselves to endure the storm. You know, I think it's one of my favorite metaphors. So if it's a little too out there, just tell me.
No, go ahead.
Unbroken. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen the movie or read the book, but it's one of my favorite books. Louis Zamperini, who's a runner, and he, in World War II, fights for the U.S., and his plane is shot down in the Pacific, and the Japanese capture him, and he's going from camp to camp to camp. He's being beaten. He's being tortured. He's watching his friends die, and all these just horrific things, okay? And then, you know, he's lost everything. And the war ends, and as the Americans are sort of giving aid to the prisoners and taking them back to American bases, someone asks him if he could do that again, and he says, I'd rather die. Mm. And the reason that cut me to my core is because you can take everything away from someone. Their life can be absolute hell, But if they're focusing on simply getting to the next day, they're putting one foot in front of the other, they can do the actual miraculous to the point mm-hmm. where the enough time goes by, he's saved, he looks over his shoulder, and he survives something that, like, seems insurmountable. It's not, it doesn't seem real to have lived through what he did. And so it's so big that he looks at it and goes, I'd rather die. You know, and it's like, it's incredible what his courage and strength to get to the next day did for him. It's just such a beautiful, powerful message.
Yeah, no, I love that. And, you know, when we talk about just whether we're talking about various mental health issues, substance issues, whatever it is that someone is going through, especially with teens, is for them to kind of see that forgiveness within themselves and move forward, and that we do not stay the same. We are constantly growing as humans, mm-hmm. right? We're growing, we're changing. And, you know, I was discussing with a colleague about this. It's so interesting when people point the finger, you know, and I'm sure that's happened to me. It's happened to so many people where it comes more from a place of judgment. And, you know, when people even ask me, like, how do you stay positive when things like this happen? And for me, it's about, you know, what is it that I can give back to that person who is judging me on the other end? Because at the end of the day, judgment is about maybe something within me that they are actually wanting or admiring or triggering their inner pain. And it's so hard, right? We were talking about earlier about positivity. It's so hard to see the positive in other people, to see growth in the other person if you're not growing, right? So those are just some really awesome things that I would love for us to continue to talk about. Before we go into a break, just really briefly, Eddie, I wanted to ask you, you know, about adjustment, because adjustment is such a hard part too for parents, for teens now. Again, adjustment just in general, and people can take it as they would like what's happening. And this reminds me from your episode, and I have it down here, is life is not a perfection game. It's an adjustment yeah. game. And I don't know if we have enough time before the break, do we? We have 1 minute, but briefly, if we can't finish off, we'll finish after the break. But I just wanted to get your take on that, because I love that. So these are just things that you talk about that really hit me to the core in terms of what I see a lot. So we'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, I'll put it simply. So life is not a perfection game. It's an adjustment game. We tend to think, especially as kids, that there's a right way to do things, that there's everything's laid out, that, you know, these people have it. It's like, no, we're all a bunch of idiots trying to figure it out, running around, no idea what's going on. Some people are better pretending than others. Like, life is not that serious.
Yeah.
It's not about perfection. It's about moving into this crazy space and picking up the pieces and kind of figuring out as you go.
Yeah.
It's about being willing to adjust and try things and test things. You know, you are your own experiment. It's not a standardized test. Life isn't a checklist. Mm.
Definitely. And there's no such thing as perfection. No one is perfect. I'll leave it at that, because when I talk about positive parenting, parents think, oh, you must be the perfect. I said, there's no such thing as a perfect parent. I make mistakes every single day. I'm human. I say that a lot. And I said, it's an adjustment. Each day is an adjustment, and we're learning something new. So on that note, we need to go into another break. You are listening to KHTS FM 98.1 AM 1220 and hometownstation.com. I am here with Eddie Panero, and we'll be right back. There's no combination. Welcome back to the Dr. Regine Show. We are here on KHTS FM 98.1 AM 1220 and hometownstation.com. We are here with our guest, Eddie Panero. It's been an amazing talk so far, and we are back talking about what we just left off on, which is all about life is not a perfection game. But I want to tie it in a little bit to, you know, a lot of you know, teens right now are getting their results. I don't know if this week. Yes, I think it is this week. They're getting their news where they're getting in for college. And I know it's bringing up a bunch of emotions, but I just wanted to talk a little bit about that and expectations and some good tips that we have for our amazing parents and listeners and caregivers out there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's an exciting time. It really is. I think the expectations are what can drive outcomes that we don't necessarily want. So, mm-hmm. In other words, like, life is not straight lines, life is circles. There will be tests that you planned, that you studied hard for, you know, that you take and you didn't do as well. Mm-hmm. There will be colleges you apply to that, for one reason or another, you didn't get in. There's this idea that, you know, life is not about, like, plans coming to fruition. It's being able to pick up the pieces when the plans fall apart. Mm-hmm. And that understanding to me, it's like, it's a breath of fresh air, right? So my parents, who are my biggest fans, like, they're my heroes. They've been there for me. They always will be. But when you navigate, and life is about exploring, right? Your parents can't tell you necessarily, like, what you want. That's something that we all, every single human alive, has to figure out. That's why we're here, you know? And so I remember, like, starting this journey and sort of the expectations that were laid out. It was medical school for me at first, mm-hmm. and then law school. And, like, you know, navigating through this, I'm like, no, not quite right. And then going to the corporate world and then leaving the corporate world. And the people who loved me the most were the most scared because they wanted what's best. Yeah. What I was doing was not the plan I drew up. You know, and that's hard for the people closest to you who want you to win. So those are some of the toughest conversations I've ever had. It's like, this is where I need to delve into my curiosity and my creativity and understand, as a creator and entrepreneur, what means the most to me. Right? You can't add value to the world if you're doing something that doesn't mean anything to you. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I'm grateful there was that sort of understanding and appreciation, you know, for that. Again, I'll refer to that quote, not all who wander are lost. It's one of my favorite sentiments because it's like you have to get lost before you know who you are. And I'm not saying wander off the road. I'm not saying, you know, you have to disappear. But what I'm saying is if you don't let yourself ever deviate from the path, or if you think any obstacle that pushes you off the path is the end of the world, I think there's a misunderstanding. Mm. Life is messy. It will always be messy. It's on us to navigate it, to learn as we go, to understand both the world and who we are and how those two things act in tandem. It's a process. And, it's interesting. Like, some of the most important innovators of our time were, you know, it's Apple's whole, you know, the cliche, think different. Mm. Like, the people that built the things that we use today and changed the world were the ones that went, I'm going to try something a little different. Mm-hmm. I didn't get in, or, you know, I'm dropping out, or whatever the case may be. But there has to be that sense of personal agency of, mm-hmm. You know, you only get one life. And so, you know, you really need to delve into who you are so you can be more of yourself, because you deserve that and the world deserves that.
And, yeah, and, you know, as you were talking about that, so true, it's kind of like, it's like a two-year-old, or not a two-year-old. Let me go back. It's been too long for me. You know, it's like when a child's learning how to walk. So, and do you, or ride a bike, do you put them back down? Do you say, oh, no, don't try again. Just stay there. No, you keep on pushing. You keep on pushing. So I like that analogy because it just reminds me of how we encourage them to get back up and try again, get back up and try again. Or a teen trying to pass their permit or driver's license. You know what? You got to retake that. You failed it. Take it again. You fail it. You don't just give up. Same with school, right? If you are not passing, you can't just give up on school, right? You'll eventually have to continue and graduate. But at the end of the day, whether you're taking your GED or whatever route you end up taking, you're still going to finish, right? And I see the same thing with life's challenges and things that are presented to you. You didn't get in, try something else. But I think that's where the blockage comes. And that's where we're talking about the challenges and not seeing the light at the end of the tunnel where, well, there's nothing else for me to do. It's interesting. And I love that, the analogy you're bringing up too, and also your experience. Because I was definitely not thinking of psychology at all. This was just for me also an innate, I call my innate talent. It was just who I was as a person. And it was so interesting how I just fell into it, because I was, my dream was to work for the UN, also with kids, but, I was very into politics and international relations. So very different, path, and very determined to get to that path, but something just happened and didn't work out. So that's what I always want to also empower our parents and teens, and just for them to remember that the path that you had planned, sometimes you don't go that way. Sometimes there is another route. But taking in those experiences, like you said, and looking at what did I learn from this experience and what can I take from this, not looking at it as a challenge. It was a positive challenge that I took on. I was able to move on to the next thing. So we were almost done. We have like 1 minute left, but Eddie, please tell our viewers our listeners, where to find you. I highly, highly recommend you check out his podcast, and I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. My podcast is Your World Within, and on YouTube, it's Eddie Pinnell. Your World Within will still bring up the same channel. And then if you want to, you know, reach out on Instagram and connect with me there, I'd love to hear from you and, you know, chat, see if I can help you. I'm at Eddie Pinnell on Instagram.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Eddie. It was so amazing having you. I know there's a million topics we could talk about. It's never enough, but I really think our listeners who've heard of you today and our viewers will really enjoy and feel great motivation to what you have to offer. And thank you so much for being the healer that you are and messenger. It was so awesome having you on today with us on KHTS FM.
Thank you. And thanks for the beautiful conversation.
Thank you. So this is a wrap for today. Thank you so much. It was wonderful hearing, and this will also be broadcast on our website. Thank you for listening to KHTS FM 98.1 AM 1220 and hometownstation.com.